Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line 0141 951 1025.
A quite incredible day in the Scottish Premiership, and we're going to take an hour of your calls to look back on that and of course look ahead to a massive day tomorrow. Rangers against Celtic at Ibrox, that's after a win for Hearts against Aberdeen, that's after a win for Motherwell against Dundee United, a 5-1 win for Falkirk against Kilmarnock, and Hugh Keevans, I sense it will be a busy time on the phones for the next hour.
Well, as ever in this part of the world, the Rangers-Celtic game dominates. We can quickly say that Hearts and Motherwell are very much concerned in a four-way race. Now we have to find out how the other two in the race get on tomorrow. Controversial build-up to the match. Question marks over team selection, particularly in the case of Celtic. And that will dominate conversation, I think.
Yeah, another day of brilliant action-packed football from Scottish football. And again, you look at that big result for Hearts at 1-0. They'll take 1-0s between now and the end of the season, absolutely. And Motherwell are definitely in this fight for the title. For me, again, another brilliant win. One I expected today against Dundee United. But puts them just that 1 point behind Celtic. That's how close they are. That's how good they've been this season. So yeah, they're absolutely in it. So it was another significant day, and obviously it all heaps the pressure on what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, Motherwell and Hearts can sit back and relax now and look forward to the game tomorrow. You also look at, as the guys touched on, Falkirk at home, brilliant result this afternoon. Livy, another point. They don't need points, they need 3 points. That's the problem with them. And then that cracking match up at Dens Park, Dundee. So entertaining football all round. Looking forward to the last hour of the show and really looking forward to tomorrow.
0141 951 1025. Get those calls in. Let's speak to Paul, who's a Celtic fan in Edinburgh. Up first, Paul, how are you feeling ahead of tomorrow and after what we saw today?
I'm feeling incredibly downbeat. To be honest, I mean, this is probably the worst. Well, I'm 42 years old, right? So I've my first Celtic team was at Hampden with Mark McNally and Brian O'Neill in the back four, and this team is about as bad as that, I have to be honest. I have no faith in us getting results towards the end of the season. Beating Rangers 2 weeks in a row, no chance. And I think we'll be very lucky to finish fourth. And I think what needs to be...
lucky to finish fourth, did you say, Paul?
I think...
what, you mean Hibs could leapfrog Celtic?
Actually, I feel that Motherwell are a much better team than we are just now, and the way they are playing.
So do you mean lucky to finish third? Sorry,
third or fourth, mate. I mean, really, we are a joke this season, an absolute joke. What was given to Martin O'Neill in the transfer window? I mean, you've got strikers that are not scoring goals. As soon as Arne Engels is out of the team, you look at the weakness in the midfield. I mean, this is just a joke. I really feel for Martin. I know he's come back and he's committed to the job, but I just think that we are a complete embarrassment of a football club right now.
Martin O'Neill's results generally since he came in the league haven't been that bad, though, Paul, have they?
Well, we've nicked games, but we got beat against Hibs at Parkhead last week. Now, you tell me over the past, 15 seasons, how many times have we been beaten at Parkhead by Hibs? Could be getting beat by Hibs at Parkhead.
Let's put this...
We don't have strikers that can score goals.
Paul, let's put this into context here. Martin O'Neill has won 31 of 36 league points over two spells as interim manager. But I do not quibble with Paul when he says that there have been elements of farce about this season. Celtic have had three managers. The whole Wilfred Nancy episode reflected very badly on Celtic as a club. It was an unfathomable, ridiculous decision to take. and they've lost the League Cup to St Mirren, who are currently trying to avoid the relegation playoffs. So there have been elements of farce about the season thus far. Celtic have to come back and win at Ibrox, I think, to retain any prospect of being still involved in the title race. And again, I would not quibble with Paul when he says that Celtic could finish beneath Motherwell in the table. It is a distinct possibility. And to finally agree with Paul, what Martin O'Neill was handed was ridiculous, because he goes there tomorrow, the choice being Benjamin Arthur or Dean Murray to play beside Liam Scales. Celtic let a transfer window go by, got in low knees all over the place, didn't get cover, proper cover for...
Let Stephen Welsh go back out on loan to Motherwell, who got another clean sheet today.
Cameron Carter-Vickers, no cover for him. Celtic, leaving aside Martin O'Neill, I repeat, 31 of 36 league points won by Martin O'Neill. But in terms of the way Celtic is run as a football club, they are in a farcical situation.
Paul, are you giving Celtic absolutely no chance of winning at Ibrox tomorrow then?
We've got no chance of winning, you know. I don't believe we will win tomorrow. I don't believe we will win the league. The problem that we have, right, you can talk about changing the culture, but if you've got Dermot Desmond being there saying he's going to be the man that's going to say if we spend X amount on a transfer, and he's going to sit on that's just farcical. We're going back to the days of the biscuit tin board, which Hugh will be very aware of, right? This is where we are. We are back to the days of the biscuit tin board with Dermot Desmond. We, you know, Fergus McCann modernised our club, and we've stalled. The stadium has stayed the same, right? Uh-huh. The recruitment has stalled. We've had good managers that have not progressed because Dermot Desmond will not allow X amount of a transfer to go. This is not acceptable for Celtic Football Club, and it's where we are right now, and that we are in a complete situation. And that, you know, Rangers will very, very likely win the league. I don't doubt that Rangers will beat us twice in the next 2 weeks.
You're ruling out Hearts as well, Paul?
Rangers will win.
But just to focus, Paul, on what you're talking about at Celtic Park, I have been consistent in my position that I believe that Dermot Desmond has been terrifically successful while being the principal shareholder at Celtic. But my belief is he has taken the club as far as he can, and Celtic would best benefit from a change of owner.
Would there also need to be fingers pointed at those spending the money as well, and where that money's being spent on? Because it's not as if Celtic haven't spent money in the past few years. Celtic have spent a lot of money, and I know people will look at the balance sheet and say that, you know, they would want Celtic to spend more, but it's maybe hard to defend when you look at people like Balakwisha, who Celtic chased for 2 years, spent £5 million on, and can't even get anywhere near a squad. Joel Mvuka, who was initially going to come in on a permanent deal, ended up coming in on a loan deal, can't get in the squad either. So there's got to be a sort of balance to strike there in terms of who's providing the money and who's also spending the money as well.
There can be no doubt, no argument whatsoever, that over the course of the last 12, 13 months, a very good, high-quality Celtic side has been allowed to become a very mediocre Celtic side because they sold quality and they bought mediocrity.
Well, thank you to Paul. Let's speak to William, who is a Rangers fan in Stevenston. Paul is not confident as a Celtic fan going into tomorrow. William, are you any different as a Rangers fan?
Yeah, hello, Andrew, Shue, Dazzler and Cammy. We're at home, right? So against any team in our league, I'm expecting to win, right? Because we're at home. And what I will say is, one single performance, if we repeat our Hearts performance, I think we've got a very good chance of winning tomorrow. I don't know what the panel think of that. I thought Rangers battered the best team in the country. Hearts have been the best team in the country because they're top of the league.
The only thing I'll say, William, is remember Hearts still score two. Mm-hmm. Ibrox. Look, I think Rangers will go with the same formation, the same sort of personnel. I think they'll go a bit physical up top with the two lads and have a real go at Celtic. I think every Rangers fan, and it's incredible there that Paul's come on and given his team absolutely no chance. You look at Thursday night, I think a lot of everybody probably looked at that game and thought Stuttgart would run over the top of Celtic. They go and get a result, so they're capable of doing that, there's no doubt about it. I think it's a difficult one to call. Because it's Ibrox, I think that Rangers will gain as favourites. There's no doubt in that for me. Because you look at their performance at Livingston, and lately they've had a few sort of a poor performances. I was there at Fir Park when Motherwell, you know, probably were a best team and got a result with 10 men against 11 of Rangers. So it's the hardest game, I think, to call tomorrow. It's going to be really interesting tactically, everything about it, and I think we're in for a good Sunday afternoon.
Rangers set up and game plan tomorrow, do you go along with the fact that it should be like how it was against Hearts at Ibrox?
Yeah, for me, I said it before, I think William's right. If Rangers can stop, obviously, the two goals they conceded in the Hearts game, again, they need to avoid doing that tomorrow. But certainly, the way they approached the Hearts game, the intensity they played with, they knew they were playing, it was a big, big game for them. But again, then you look at the performance last weekend against Livingston. For long periods, it was too slow, it was laboured. I don't expect that tomorrow because, again, the atmosphere is going to be created at Ibrox, and they'll all be behind Rangers from the kickoff. So I fully expect Rangers to start the game fast. I'm with Daz. I think you play a very physical side and play against that back four of Celtic and again the two centre halves that haven't got a huge amount of partnership together. You try and put them under as much pressure as you can. So I believe Rangers will be too strong for Celtic tomorrow. I think they'll win the game.
William, in terms of team selection, is it Chermiti and Ndidi up top? What happens with the midfield out of maybe the likes of Raskin, Diamandé, Chukwuane, anyone that has to start, anyone that should miss out?
I think they should definitely go with the two big boys up front. Physicality and set pieces, we could dominate Celtic in that area. I think Dazler said earlier on in the show, Diamandé, great shout. I would put it to one winger, I would go Moore. I would drop Olsen, I'd pick Diamandé in for him and go with Chukwuane and Raskin. And don't worry, the pressure coming out today, don't worry about Raskin, he'll be well up for that game tomorrow. He seems to upset Cal McGregor for some reason in all these games. It's quite funny. And just a quick thing on the manager's handbags at 10 paces, you know what I mean? Sometimes foreign managers could be interpreted. Was he asked the questions about the game? Was he asked the questions about the goalkeeper? That's all I'm saying. It's just handbags.
I don't think he's had too much in the way of criticism about the goalkeeping thing, potentially from Martin O'Neill, maybe not outsiders. He was asked, I think, about the Stuttgart-Celtic game. It wasn't the fact he answered the question. Was it more the detail he went into that people take issue with?
You know, the for me, you can summarise this, and I don't disagree with William that, you know, it makes for great headlines, but calm down and let's think about it. The one area, it's none of his business how Celtic approach a European match. That's talking about another club in an unnecessary way. That's Martin O'Neill's business, it's not his. But to speculate on the goalkeeper, that's fair play because everyone has. And to make comment on Luke McCowan's assertion that Celtic are the best team in the country, that's fair enough. He backed up his own case, Danny Rule, with the facts of the matter. But when it comes to discussing Martin O'Neill's tactical approach to a European tie, that's none of his business.
Well, thank you to William. 01419511025, taking more of your calls on tomorrow's big game, on today's action as well. We'll hear from some of the managers involved in today's games, and I'll tell you about this while you get in touch.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
all next week on Clyde One's Super Scoreboard. We're celebrating Clyde One's official partnership with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. It's running from the 11th to the 29th of March across Glasgow City Centre, and we're giving away tickets and meals to some of the festival's best shows. This afternoon's prize is a pair of tickets for Conor Byrne's show Gallus at the King's Theatre on Saturday the 14th of March. The show is completely sold out, so this is your only way in. Plus, for good measure, we'll chuck in an overnight stay at the Yotel in Argyle Street and a two-course meal with drinks at Goss Steak Restaurant on Bothwell Street, which sounds like a great night indeed. All you need to do is give us the punchline to a football joke, which one of our pundits will deliver.
Is this
Gordon
a joke?
DL,
what do magicians Cristiano Ronaldo and James Tavernier all have in common?
Do you want to repeat that for us?
What do magicians Cristiano Ronaldo and James Tavernier all have in common?
Call 0141 951 1025 right now and tell us the punchline to that joke, and you could be off to see Conor Byrne's at the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. It is over 18s only. You have to call before the end of the next break. So call now, and remember, you can check everything going on across the month at GlasgowComedyFestival.com.
Games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
We are here until 6 o'clock taking your calls on today's action, because there was a lot going on. Hearts with a big win at the top of the table. Motherwell with another big win at the top of the table as well. A huge victory for Falkirk over Kilmarnock. There was late drama between Dundee and Hibs, and also at the bottom of the table, there was of course that draw between Livingston and St Mirren. More of your calls to come, but we'll do this first.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
Yeah, before the break, we were giving you the chance to get tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival, and the lines are now closed. We're giving away a pair of tickets for Conor Byrne's show Gallus at the King's Theatre on Saturday the 14th of March, plus an overnight stay at Yotel and a two-course meal with drinks at Gost. All you have to do is give us the answer to Gordon DL's joke. You wrote this one, didn't you, Gordon?
Oh, I wrote that myself. Yeah, what do magicians Cristiano Ronaldo and James Tavernier all have in common?
Marie is on the line. Marie.
Hi.
Have you got the answer for us? Have you got the punchline?
If you don't, I'll give you it.
I do. Did they both score hat-tricks?
There we go. Hat-tricks. We get it. The magicians hat-tricks. And Cristiano Ronaldo. James Tavernier, a bit of a tenuous stretch on that one. Scored one, has he? Ever?
Sorry, but I couldn't think of anybody else, but look, it was a wee joke.
But you know what? It's not about Gordon DL. It's about Marie, who has just won a pair of tickets to Conor Byrne's show Gallus at the King's Theatre, an overnight stay at Yotel, and a two-course meal with drinks at the Gost as well. So that is great. So thank you very much to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. Marie, stay on the line. They will get your details to get that prize to you. And we'll have more to give away on Monday night's show at 6 o'clock as well. Remember, you can check out GlasgowComedyFestival.com for all the shows. I tell you what, I hope the standard of joke across the Glasgow International Comedy Festival is much higher than what you are providing there.
There are people out there bursting their sides laughing at that. As we speak, of course, there are people having to pull their car over just for a wee chuckle.
I will say, I have seen Conor Byrne's perform live before, and he was very funny, unlike that joke that you just told me.
And can I just clarify one thing?
Go on.
I never wrote that.
Of course not.
Right, let's go back to the phones. Paddy is a Celtic fan in Crookford. Paddy, how are you?
Well, I'm a lot worse now. I've been hanging on for a bit. 10 minutes. I was about to give you the answer.
Sorry about that, Paddy.
I was on. I've been waiting. It was the both canny defence. That's the answer to the comedy quiz thing.
What about magicians? They were part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, magicians can't defend either. But I was
that's meaning, actually a fair point. You know what?
I was meaning obviously Tavernier. Yeah, the other guy.
On to tomorrow, Paddy. What are you thinking? Confident, not confident?
Always confident. Always confident with Martin O'Neill. He's only lost one game courtesy to an extraordinary, bizarre VAR intervention. So, But my point, my main point was your first caller, Paul. Was he in your relation to Hugh, by any chance? I mean, that was he was very sort of melancholy, and you know, the hyperbole was extraordinary. And
he's not the only Celtic fan that's been negative about this season, though, Paddy. I think there'll be quite a few with Celtic sitting third in the table at the moment.
Well, he was being negative. He was going back to the biscuit tin days. I'm going to say, somebody should have said to him, listen, by the way, we've won everything, almost every trophy for about the last 20 years, you know, so I'll tell you, the guy at the top must be doing something right, and so must his board appointees. And I've got news for some Celtic supporters. Not so much that guy, because, oh my God, I mean, honestly, if you were in the trenches alongside him, you'd be volunteering to get over the top. But, the Gen Z ones, supporters these days that want everything instantaneously, they want it now. And they have to realise, football's not an exact science. Now, yes, the Celtic board, they've held their hands up, and they've made mistakes. Tisdale gets sacked, and you know, Nancy, you know, obviously after 30 days or whatever, but so, you know, they seem to be, you know what?
I would say it's not just young fans that have been showing a bit of unrest at Celtic Park this season. There's been a large, you know, the Celtic fans collective, a lot of fan groups. There's a large selection of Celtic fans, not just the younger generation that are not
happy. Paddy is blessed with eternal optimism, and that's fine. Perfectly entitled, an individual entitled to think what he likes, but he's paid no attention to the course of the season. Three managers, two chairmen, one bad transfer window after another, the loss of the League Cup to St Mirren, now rooted to third bottom place in the Premiership table, the appointment of Wilfred Nancy effectively sabotaged Celtic's league season. They lost four times to Hearts, Dundee United, Motherwell, St Mirren, Motherwell Rangers rather. So, you know, the season has been calamitous, and depending on what happens tomorrow at Ibrox, it could get worse. I concede it could
get better. Celtic could still win a double.
Yeah, but you would have to say that Celtic go into that match as underdogs. Simply to whitewash the season as, yes, the board have made mistakes, that's not good enough. The transfer windows have been awful. The appointment of Nancy, if that happened in public life, people would want a government inquiry. So, as I say, Paddy is blessed with eternal optimism, and that's fine, but he's not paying attention.
Paddy, tomorrow's game, is it a must win, a must not lose for Celtic in terms of the title race? Is it that vital?
You know, every game's crucial, obviously, at the business end of the season. However, you know, to say it's must win, must not lose, you know, there's still, 30 points to play for, so, you know, we'll just have to see about that. But again, just to reiterate, you know, I mean, we've almost won everything in the last 20 years.
Is it not more to do with, you know, people would point out that they feel the squad has regressed over the last, well, you know, couple of years, Paddy? It's maybe not to do with what is happening right this second. It's maybe a sort of pattern of things over time.
We have to live within our means. You know, it's an unfortunate situation that we're in here in Scotland in terms of revenue, you know, the revenue that can be generated. And you know, and I'm sorry, I'm not having this that, oh my goodness, you know, you've got to spend every single penny that you get at the bank. If we do have a bad season, we are going to be in a very sound financial position to bounce back, and we're not going to have to go into debt for it. And you look across the side, you look at what's happened in Scottish football with the clubs doing that. We can bounce back. We do not have an automatic right to win everything every season, but that's what we have more or less been doing for the last 20 years. So just be very careful what you wish for, or listen, or for that matter, or Celtic Wars. Don't listen to the hyperbole like Mr. Keevans and Co. and the caller Paul. You know,
No, no. Listen to the tens of thousands in the ground shouting, "Sack the board." So again, as I say, Paul is blessed with eternal optimism. He pays no attention to the progress of the season. He speaks in one breath about living within your means, and then he tells you how much money Celtic have got. He tells you in one breath how many trophies Celtic have won in the last 20 seasons, without the most important thing, focus on this season of three managers, two chairmen, one bad transfer window after another, and going to Ibrox tomorrow needing to win.
But the sad thing about it, not the sad thing, but the interesting thing about it is they can still win trophies. They're a potential double there for them. I totally agree with you. I think they've made a mess of it. They should have been a way out of distance now with the money, everything they were achieving, the squad they had built up. They've come back the way, and all of a sudden you're looking at, you know, Rangers, you're looking at Hearts, you're looking at Motherwell with one of the lowest budgets in the league. You know, playing them off the pitch at Fir Park. But when it's all said and done, they've still got an opportunity to finish the season on a high.
Well, thanks to Paddy. Rangers fans, what are you thinking ahead of the game tomorrow? We'd like to hear from you. Hearts fans, after a big win today at the top of the table, the same for Motherwell as well. Be interested to hear from Falkirk or Kilmarnock fans to hear either side of what happened there as well. 0141 951 1025. Robbie is a Celtic fan up next in Falkirk. Robbie, in terms of team selection for tomorrow, is there anything Martin O'Neill has to do? Is there anyone that should be left out?
Good evening, panel. Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Andrew. I was just about team selection, and I'll just give a wee bit of a summary on how I see some of the positions and stuff like that. I would go with Sinisalo in goal, Arahu.
We'll take that one first of all, Robbie, and then I'll let you go through.
Can I not just go right through the team?
Right, go for it, and then I'll pick out some individual ones.
Right, I would go for Sinisalo in goal, Arahu right back, Murray, Scales and Tierney. Two home midfielders, I would go with Oxlade, Chamberlain and McGregor. I would actually play McCowan in the high 10 position. Now, here's where I'm a wee bit... I'm not too sure. See, Yang's got to play in the right, because if you go with Tomeke and Maeda, I don't like one on the left and one on the right, because they are a bit, each of them are best on the left-hand side, so I would probably go with Maeda. Now, that's the conundrum here, because at the end of the day, Maeda hasn't been playing well this season, but he's been shown to show up against Rangers, especially against Tavernier. Ibrox, he's got a couple of goals there, and he does play well in this fixture, usually. Regarding the centre-forward position, I would go with, if he's fit, this is actually, not many people have been talking about him because he's hardly been in the picture, as I would go with Iheanacho. If he is fit, that's the guy I would go with. Now, just let me finish here with a couple of summary things here. See the left-hand side? Actually, when Tanecki's on the left-hand side, he actually matches up in combination play better with Sorachi. But I think he will play Tierney. And I think that Arahu and Yang on the right-hand side. Now, Celtic, they've got to win the midfield battle, and I think that Oxlade, Chamberlain and McGregor have got the potential to come out really, really well in that battle. But I just think that on the wings and the full-back areas are really, really important for Celtic tomorrow.
Robbie, just to ask you a question, I'm listening to your team there. I disagree. I think you'll go with Schmeichel in goals, but we'll wait and see tomorrow. To win the game tomorrow, you need to score goals. You've named a team leaving out your biggest threat to scoring goals, your top goal scorer.
Absolutely, Gordon. I'll tell you why I'm leaving them out, because at the end of the day, it's another one, it's a wee conundrum position, because at the end of the day, Negrin has scored 18 goals this season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think that the industry and outside of the goals, and potentially, I'm not getting overexcited because he scored that goal against Stuttgart, but he will give you... See, it's all about controlling the game. See, under Martin O'Neill, Gordon, right? Mm-hmm. I think you'll admit here, Celtic have been quite fortunate. Even in his first spell, St Mirren away, then it was Hibs, then it was Dundee, that 1-0 game, and look at the last three or four games. Kilmarnock, Livingston. See, another thing is, I'm going to admit, see that game last week, Gordon, when they got beat? That, see, a lot of Celtic fans expected that. They did, let's be honest. That was always going to catch up with them. The last-minute winners, the last three or four games before then. So, nae Celtic fans, as much as they wanted to win last week, nobody was really surprised. Now, I'm going to say something. I agree with you, right? I agree with you, Negrin's goals. But see, if you want to control the game, Nomura, you need McCowan in there. You need the industry Definitely, but understand it's a 50, it's a bit of a coin flip. I understand what you're saying with the goals, but if you want to control that midfield, Amora, you need McCowan in there. He gives you more industry, he'll give you more legs, and he'll give you more control of the ball than what Negrin will give you. There you go.
Negrin has to start for you, Gordon.
Oh, do. Yeah, and listen, Robbie makes a good point there, but I think he's all-round play. He's a threat. He's scoring goals. You're going to need someone that's going to maybe be a game-changer tomorrow. He can get you goals, there's no doubt. As Robbie said, he scored 18 goals this season. Luke McCown, I thought Donald had done well on Thursday night. He got off to a terrific start, a good finish, good goal. He gives everything. He's a Celtic supporter, loves the club. But I think going to Ibrox tomorrow, Negrin would be probably my choice.
I also think there's more chance of Martin O'Neill picking me up front than Iheanacho. He's simply not fit, and he will be behind Shavanshara and Adamu in the queue.
Very quickly on the goalkeeping scenario, two questions, Cammy.
Yep.
Who should start and who will start?
Who should start? Listen, it's up for debate. I think Sinisalo done very well on Thursday night, kept a really good clean sheet, had a number of decent saves as well, looked very, very comfortable in the game with a huge amount of pressure within that game. So I thought he did really well. I think he'll play Kasper Schmeichel tomorrow purely on experience. I think I said it before, him making the decision that he played against Hibs last week was the one for me that makes the decision that he will play tomorrow.
Well, thanks to Robbie. What about Max, who is a Motherwell fan? Were you at the game today, Max?
I was, yes. Very, very good. Another day that I've came away from Fir Park being very excited, very impressed, and it just keeps getting me thinking at the back of my head that how far can we actually go? I think before today, I was a bit sceptical with thinking, could we push maybe into third, a kind of best case scenario. I'm just curious to see what you guys think after Motherwell's result today. How far do you guys think we can go? I don't think we're out of the equation of pushing for first place. I know there's still a couple of good teams above us just now, but I just think the form that we're on just now is very, very promising. I just think we can push really far. I think if you go into the split, I really feel confident with any team that we're going to go up against, playing how we are. Again, there's still quite a lot of games still to go. Just curious to see what you guys are thinking.
You might as well go for broke. I'll go for broke. Final day of the season, top four, Rangers, Hearts, Motherwell, Celtic.
That's a big, big shout. The one thing I love about Motherwell now is not the fact that on top of the entertaining football, goals are scoring, the clean sheets are incredible. Yeah. You look at their home record, it's incredible. What is it, 11 now, and only Rangers have scored against them? So it shows you that every department, and everybody talks about the midfield. I remember, and I've said it before in this programme, I think I said it this week in one of the shows, that we had a caller on here, calls quite regular, and 3 weeks into the season, saying that Motherwell had the best midfield in the league, and we all sort of mocked him. He was 100% right.
Where will they finish? Cut to the chase. Where will they finish?
I think they'll finish top three here, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
How important will this be, Cammy? Just looking at Motherwell's last five matches in the league, they've conceded one goal. Across their last 10 games, they've conceded three goals. Across their last 15 games, they've conceded three goals. Across their last 20, they've conceded six goals in our last 20 league games.
Incredible. And again, that's why they are where they are. Listen, they score goals at the top end of the pitch, but it's most important you keep clean sheets, and they've been absolutely brilliant at that because they've got so much control of the game. They're in control for long periods of the game. That's why they don't concede goals for me. I think what's key for Motherwell and where they end up this season, they've got Dundee obviously away in the next game, a game that I fancy them going up there and taking all 3 points. But then they've got that period that, for me, before the split happens, Celtic away. Then you've got Hibs at home, Falkirk at home, and then you finish up with Hearts away before the split happens. So them four games for me are going to dictate whether Motherwell can really challenge for this title, because they're absolutely in it. They're absolutely in it.
Dazzler says top three. I say top three. What do you say?
Top three.
Just to double down on that as well, in terms of goals scored, they've only scored two fewer goals than both Celtic and Rangers. So now have a better goal difference. Already had a better goal difference than Celtic. That's now by 8.
Wow.
They have a better goal difference over Rangers by 3, and one better than Hearts as well. Thank you to Max on the line. Final chance to get your calls in. 01419511025.
After they play, you have your say. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
What a set of results today in the Scottish Premiership, and a huge game to come tomorrow. Keep those thoughts coming on 01419511025. We'll go back to the phones. Interested to hear what some of the managers have been saying about today's game. A huge match between Falkirk and Kilmarnock. It finished Falkirk 5, Kilmarnock 1. We will hear from the manager of the winners first. That is John McGlynn.
Nah, I couldn't. Maybe not losing a goal at all would have been what we did. So, yeah, great start in the game. Calvin was electric today. Not how many assists? He certainly had 2 assists. Maybe Thatch, and maybe an assist for the corner. So we started really, really well. It is an own goal, but when you get into these positions, put the balls in as well as Calvin does. Then we score from a corner kick, which is kind of worked on. So, well done to everyone involved in that. And we actually have a goal in between times, which has been disallowed. I've not seen it back. So, hopefully that VAR got it right. It was took a wee while to come to the, that decision. We're kind of in a cruising position. Kelly got a goal back, fair play. And that can be 3-1. Anything can happen. But thankfully enough, again, Calvin down the side, ball in the box, big Barney's there. And, Dylan scores with a good strike. So, yeah. Great performance, great response to losing last week at Tynecastle, and we've given ourselves an even better chance of finishing the top six. It's very close, yeah. There's still points to be got, but yeah, it was very, very close, yeah.
And I have a sneaky suspicion some people may be more interested to hear the thoughts of Neil McCann.
That wasn't a good start. Wasn't a good middle or a good ending. Look, we were just second best today, all over the pitch. And Falkirk were excellent, we weren't. Football's hard, and no, everything's mapped out. We've got ourselves great results and great performances and plenty of plaudits along the way by being bang at it. And today we just weren't. It's a sore one. The problem is we've not got a game next week to fly into and totally prepare. But so that can work as a positive, because it's a long time to let that one simmer. And it'll hurt me. It is hurting me right now, and I'm sure it'll be hurting them. I can only apologise to the fans that came here today. We filled out our section, and I'm so sorry to them that we have put on that type of performance. That's just not acceptable. To be honest, it's not about time working with them. We've had loads of time. We're not in a position where we're going to European games or cup competitions. We've had plenty of time on the grass. I'm not making any excuses there. I'm culpable for that as well. All round, we were just second best today, and Falkirk were bang at it. It probably could have been more. I thought they were excellent in their work rate, their appetite, their quality. We haven't served that type of performance up in my time here, and we've got a lot of time now to let that fester away on us. It's a sore one, but rest assured that when we do get back in, we'll be preparing to look ahead towards Hearts.
You can't argue with brutal honesty. Second best all day long, and Neil McCann simply telling the truth. His other consolation is that St Mirren only get 1 point today, and there are 3 points between Kilmarnock and St Mirren. St Mirren are very much in this, and Kilmarnock will have to fester until their next game, as will St Mirren. But brutally honest from Neil McCann, and nothing left to say. Second best.
Well, let's go back to the phones. Brian is a Rangers fan in Lark Hall. Brian, how are you?
I'm not bad. Hi, panel. First of all, I'd like to commend Hearts for sticking in there. They've got a formula, and it's working for them. And they've recovered from Ibrox 2 weeks ago, because that was really the first game this season that you could say that they really were well beaten. You know, the other games where they were beaten, they were always in the match. My main point is Danny Rule's comments in his press conference. Now, I didn't hear the press conference, but I've heard, bits and pieces, for Clyde. Why did he go on to speak about Celtic's game on Thursday? Was he asked a question?
Well, you were but there.
I was not there. I was in Stuttgart.
Mm. I beg your pardon.
But the thing is, it's not uncommon of managers. Managers get asked all the time, really, about teams' recent performances.
Yeah, I think
and
if
it does happen a lot, and they will speak about it. I think what people are maybe taking issue with is just the and everything is just, you know, hypersensitive when it comes to this derby, and everyone likes to get worked up about things. But it was more to do with the fact that he was sort of passing opinion on how he felt Celtic approached the game and how they dealt with it.
Brian raises an interesting point. Was he asked? I would stake everything on the fact that he wasn't asked about Celtic's performance in Stuttgart. He went there of his own accord. As I say, the bit about who should play and go,
I should say, I don't know that for certain. There's a chance he was asked out.
I can't imagine. Maybe the world has changed a lot since I started in this business, but I can't imagine that anyone said to him, what do you make of Celtic's performance in Stuttgart? He went there of his own accord.
I don't think that's uncommon at all. I think you'll hear managers up and down the country get asked about the previous performance of the team they're coming up against.
Whether he got asked or not, though, Hugh, for me, you can direct yourself away from that question, no problem, without getting into detail, which he didn't need to get into detail. Maybe he felt as if he did. Maybe he wanted to get into detail and wanted to view his opinion of what he's seen.
My fear when it comes to that kind of thing, Cammy, is that every Friday then, Andrew or Gabriel or whoever will be obliged to say, what did you make of Celtic's performance last week? Or, Martin, what did you make of Rangers at Livingston drawing 2-2? And then Martin goes off on one about Rangers. You know, as I say, the rest of it, fine. Just don't discuss another club's performance in a European tie, which has, in essence, nothing to do with you because it was a European tie. You're playing them in the league and then the cup.
It still has something to do with Rangers, though, because it's the game directly before Rangers play Celtic. So if Celtic go into the game on 3 defeats in a row, or if they go into it off the back of a win against the team that are sitting fourth in the Bundesliga, surely that has some sort of impact.
I go back to it. I've listened carefully to Martin Neil's response to what was said, and Martin Neil's response was, in essence, that's not what you should do when you're the manager of Rangers and you're playing Celtic. Or what the manager of Celtic should do before playing Rangers. Respect for the office. You manage Rangers. He manages Celtic. The bits about speculating over who plays in goal, that's fine. But to discuss Martin O'Neill's tactical approach to a game in Europe, I don't think is on.
I think I agree with you. I think as a manager, and I'm talking from both managers here, I think it's a bit of nonsense, to be quite honest with you. I've heard it a million times from managers, but I think you shy away from that. If he's asked that, you can shy away from that and just, you know, answer by saying, look, I'm more concentrating on my own team. Martin and he'll deal with his. I don't think you had to get involved in it. He decided he did, whether he's just want to add a little bit more spice, which obviously he has. But it'll be interesting to see tomorrow after the game's finished. If he wins a game, then he can come out and say, well, it was 100% right. But if he loses it, I think Martin O'Neill will have a little bite back.
Running short on time, Brian, just very quickly, who wins tomorrow? How does the game pan out?
I'm here at home, so I think we'll win. To get back to what the panel said about Danny Rule, I'm not criticising Danny for saying what he says. I think we're in a modern world. I think if you're playing an opponent, then I think you alluded to it, Gordon, that you're entitled to say, but I've heard a lot of Danny's press conferences this season, and he's never elaborated in any of his opponents. He's been asked what he expects, and he'll give up, you know, whatever. He must have been asked the question. He must have. So if he has been asked the question, he's totally entitled, you know, to his opinion after that.
Well, thank you to Brian. We're going to have to leave that there because we are just about to finish up. But Hugh, give us a summary of what today was and what we are to look forward to tomorrow.
Today, two of the four runners in the title race get over the line. One more convincing than the other, but that doesn't matter. Appearances are irrelevant. Hearts get the points. Muddle got the points. On we go to tomorrow. The stage is set, but we don't know the cast. And that's why team selection will be very interesting. And I'm glad we're back here at 11:45, Daz, in the morning.
I'll be here.
Yes, Gordon DL, Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans will be in the studio with Gordon Duncan. I'll be at Ibrox with Scott Allen, bringing you all the action. Brighton early for a Super Scoreboard, 11:45. Make sure to join us. Lots of good action today as well. Big wins for Hearts, Motherwell and Falkirk, draws between Dundee and Hibs and Livingston and St Mirren. But yes, we will see you tomorrow. And for tonight, the GBX is up next.